Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Welcome to the show tonight, and look, I don't want to oversell this or get people too excited, Zach, but there is a chance that earlier today, a significant chance, that earlier today I met a time traveller from the future.
Earlier this week, Dom, I had a conversation with you and I said, do you reckon sometimes when you open the show you might oversell what's coming up? You might exaggerate it to a point where people might think that's not possible. And then you come on this evening.
I do.
At 10 p.m, the first thing you say is you think you met a time traveller.
Oh, look, you know what? Call me the boy who cried wolf if you want after you've heard the story. I'm adamant, though, Zach, that there is a fair chance this person was from the future. There was something that they told me, something they said, that nobody in 2018 in the present day, no knowledge that anyone in this day and age could have.
But how can you confirm it?
Well, I guess time will unfold and we'll see. I'll tell you the story before we hit 11 o'clock.
Okay.
But the fact is, this could be the first time humans have made contact with a time traveller, in our, well, at least that we know of. This would be so big that I reckon if this is true, they'll make a movie out of this interaction.
Okay.
Was that an accurate enough sell, or should I go harder?
I don't know. I haven't heard about it yet. Maybe you did meet a time traveller. I'm just thinking the chances of that happening are incredibly slim.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
The royal wedding is this weekend, Dom. Just a couple of days away. Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, about to get wed.
Yep.
Here's the problem. All these radio shows are in London at the moment reporting on it. If you're not in London, you at least have a link to London. You've got someone over there on the phone.
Yeah.
You've got a journalist. Maybe someone who writes a royal blog.
Basically, everybody's either there or has an expert who is there. Every radio show has prepared for this one.
Everyone except us.
Yeah.
We're on late at night.
Yep.
Some would call us the dribs and drabs of the radio world.
Yeah.
So this is a little embarrassing.
Well, this is one of those examples where we have to take the back end of the show on air, unfortunately. But we've got to do that right now.
So on 131060,
yeah.
Will you be our royal wedding expert?
That's right. We're basically doing the planning here now, Zach, because we don't have anybody. And you might think, well, I'm not qualified enough to be a royal wedding expert.
Wrong. You are.
If you're listening to this, you're better than anything we've got right now.
We want to know your connection to the royal wedding. Now, that can be as tedious as it can be. We just need something to tell our boss. Something that we can just put on a piece of paper and say, hey, they went to a wedding once. This person knows their stuff.
Imagine that this is like a high jump and the bar is literally on the ground.
Yeah, there's a low bar.
It's a very low bar. You could step over it, to be honest. Any connection you have is good. Now, let's give some examples of what a royal wedding expert could have.
Well, I feel like I actually have a pretty good connection.
Okay.
Because I once walked past Buckingham Palace.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how long ago?
About 2 years.
Okay.
Actually, where are they getting married? Do you know? Is it Windsor? Windsor Castle?
It's in the cathedral, in one of the cathedrals, I think, over in London.
I thought it was one of the castles.
Is it? Well, I'm not an expert. What are you asking me for?
If it's Windsor Castle,
yeah.
I walked past that as well. If it's not, disregard.
Right. Okay, so, well, that's not a bad start.
What do you got? What's your connection?
I mean, well, the best I can do
is
I went to my brother's wedding about 18 months ago.
Okay. That's kind of like Prince Will. Because his brother's getting married on the weekend.
I guess so.
So you can talk about, like, the brotherly connection, what it's like for your brother to get married.
That's
now,
true.
You guys aren't royals.
There we go. Yeah.
But, you know, you could do the family connection.
Now, look, I'll be honest. We don't have a great start there. So really, anybody who can beat that would be a great royal wedding expert. Maybe you've seen a lot of Suits and you've seen Meghan Markle on there. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe you're named Harry or Meghan. I mean, it'd be interesting to get insight into the
maybe
name.
Maybe you have a coin with the Queen's face on it. That's enough of a connection. We'll take that.
Honestly, at this stage, 3 days out from the royal wedding, we will take any connection we can get. 131060. If you have some sort of a claim to the royal wedding and you could potentially be our royal wedding expert, Ethan in Newcastle. Ethan, what could be your stake to being our royal wedding expert?
Well, guys, I'm a big fan of that Lord song, Royals. We'll never be
royal. Oh!
Okay, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Well, how many times, Ethan, if you were to take a guess, do you reckon you've listened to it?
Oh, excessive of 190. Mm.
Okay.
You know what I've heard, actually, Dom? Yep. I've heard that Meghan Markle's going to walk down the aisle to that.
Oh, is she?
They're changing it slightly, though, yeah. to I'm about to become a royal.
Okay, well, you've pitched that joke at me 3 times this week. I knew you were going to work it into the show somehow.
It's not a joke. It's a serious it's a serious suggestion.
All right, so Ethan loves royals. It's an interesting claim. We could work with that. We've got Bernie in Brisbane. What's your claim, Bernie?
Hi. My sister was in England when the royal baby announcement for Prince George came out.
That's pretty good. Did she meet Prince George?
I'd like to think so, but I don't think so. She actually.
Okay, that's okay. Same city. That's
same
basically
city.
Met.
In the proximity of Prince George at some stage. I mean, that's... Geez, I reckon another network will get to Bernie if we don't jump on that.
Courtney in Melbourne, what's your connection?
Hi, so I'm a waitress at weddings every Saturday.
That's pretty good, Dom. That's someone from the inside.
That is good. Courtney, how many weddings have you, I guess, worked at?
Oh, it'd be a lot. So I've worked at the winery for 2 years, and I've worked one almost every Saturday since.
That's a veteran right there, Dom.
That's someone who knows weddings.
They know the ins and outs of the alternate drops.
Well, hang on, there is a problem though. Courtney, do you have a wedding this Saturday?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Interesting.
You might be getting the call up.
I was just thinking, we had to check Courtney was available if we're going to get next.
Do you reckon Megan and Harry are doing the alternate drop, beef and chicken? Or do you think it's a order what you want situation?
I'd like to think they're sticking with tradition.
Yeah.
Going the alternate drop. Mm. And I'd like to think that Queen Elizabeth were there just swapping with Philip.
Filthy about getting the beef.
All right, we got Callum on 131060. Callum, what is your royal claim to fame?
Hey, when Prince William was doing a visit out to Australia, my aunt made a cake for him, and there's going to be cake at the wedding, I'm assuming, so...
Wow, yeah. Your aunt actually cooked for one of the royals.
She did, but I don't know if he actually ate it, so...
What type of cake was it?
It was a sponge.
Yeah.
Sponge, okay.
Just like royals do to... our society. Sorry, not the occasion.
What
not
are you
the
doing?
Occasion.
This is not
it's
the
a
week.
Wedding. It's a nice time.
This is not
no
the week, Zach.
Anti-royal sentiment here.
Okay, well, do you reckon, I mean, cooking for Prince William, that's pretty good. Should we settle there?
I think that's pretty good, Callum. I don't think we're going to find any better than that. That's pretty much a direct connection.
Oh, I think so too. All right, Callum, congratulations. You can be our royal expert for this royal wedding. Can you spare some time to, I guess, liaise with us over the next few days?
Sure.
Great. Okay, now some shows might say we're sending you to London to cover this. We don't have the budget for that. But well, can we send Callum like a royal tea towel from Woolworths or something?
We'll see what we can do.
We'll see what we can do. All right, great. Well, we've got a royal wedding expert now. I think we've ticked the box, and you'll be hearing from Callum in the next few days on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, Japan is putting us all to shame. Mm. They always have the best technology. They have the best public transport. Yep. Check out how efficient this is. Mm. There's a story out today that a Japanese rail company has issued a public apology because one of their trains left 25 seconds early.
Now, I used to catch the bus a fair bit, Zach. I'm telling you, if a bus was there within 25 minutes of its intended departure time, you're doing pretty well. That's almost, they expect a round of applause.
I catch the train in this country every week. Mm. Sometimes it's just not there. It doesn't even come at all. No apology. I never hear anything about it.
Yeah, sometimes you go home wondering if everything's okay with the train.
This was a part of the apology.
Yeah.
The company said, we inconvenience our customers very much, and we will strive to prevent this occurring ever again.
Yeah.
Did you really inconvenience people that much? 25 seconds!
That would mean that, I guess, on the clock, it would probably still have the right time that you're meant to depart. I reckon if you're within the 60-second window, you've done amazingly. That's incredible.
They give you the minute they leave, not the second.
Exactly. Now, it's remarkable.
If this is where public transport is going, if you have to apologise for that, on Australian trains, on trains in this country, Dom, if you're apologising for 25 seconds early, all our trains are going to be our apologies.
Doors closing. Please stand clear.
G'day, punters. Just wanted to apologise for the fires currently burning in carriages 3, 4 and 7. We are working on putting them out, but in the meantime, let's just hope the wind direction stays the same. Also to the passengers complaining about the herd of sheep on carriage A, technically they are paying customers, so you will have to give them a seat. And finally to the man urinating in carriage 9, this train isn't actually fitted with a toilet, so you're just pissing on the carpet. We'd kindly ask you to direct your stream to the fires in carriages 3, 4 and 7. Hooroo!
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Pretty sure, Zach, that I met a time traveller from the future today. Now, I know you're going to be sceptical about this.
Yeah.
But wait till I tell you the story. I think I might win you around. I would have been sceptical too.
Mm.
It's a pretty incredible story, though.
So you believe?
Yes.
You met a time traveller.
Well, I'm just saying that's what the evidence would suggest. So I was lining up for a coffee at a place I had not been before. And it's empty at this time of day. The guy's making me my coffee. And we get chatting. Bit of small talk. He says to me, have you been following the royal wedding news much? And I said, oh, you know, just a bit. And he says, oh, it seems like everyone's over in London at the moment. And I said, actually, yeah, I know what you mean. I saw that Sunrise, the TV show on Channel 7, were over there broadcasting from a London pub. Mm. Now, so far, this is a pretty normal interaction. Would you agree?
Yeah.
This is where the mystery comes in. Then he says to me, oh yeah, I love Koshy, the host of Sunrise. He's going to make a great prime minister. And I said, what's that? And he said, oh, I'm sorry, that hasn't happened yet, has it? That's right. Apparently in the future, Koshy becomes prime minister. This guy's come back from the future. He's made the number one time traveler mistake. He's told me something that's happened in the future, like it's today.
But he said, he used future tense. He said, Koshy will make a great prime minister.
Yeah, well, clearly where he's from, Koshy's started running for prime minister, but hasn't won yet. That's what I've boiled it down to.
Okay, so wait, is he saying that Koshy's going to be prime minister, or Koshy might one day run for prime minister?
I didn't ask you more questions. The time traveler is elusive, Zach. Mm. But clearly he's just accidentally dropped into conversation. Yeah. A secret from the future that I am not meant to know.
So hang on.
But this is what we can confirm on the show tonight. David Koshy Kosh from Sunrise will make a run for Prime Minister at some stage in the future, according to this time traveller.
So this time traveller?
Yes.
Time travel is invented sometime in the future. Firstly, he picks to come back to a coffee shop in 2018.
Yes.
And line up for his coffee. He could go to the pyramids.
He was making the coffee.
Oh, he's making the coffee.
This is the barista. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Does that make it more I can fire the music off again.
No, don't play the music.
There we go.
He could go to any time throughout history.
Yes.
When man first walked on the moon, when the pyramids were made, he chose to become a barista.
Yes.
And he chose to talk to you.
It's what they always say about time travelers. They pop up in the place you least expect them.
And not only that.
Yep.
From a time when time travel was invented, I imagine, before they went back in time, they went through rigorous training of how not to split.
Yep.
space and time apart by stuffing something up.
Mm.
And in a 30-second chat about the royal wedding
that's
to
it.
Dom Fay in a small coffee shop.
You've got it!
they revealed their big secret that they're a time traveller.
Now, it is possible that it was a slip of the tongue, that he just meant to say he likes Koshy. But I like to think, Zach, that David Kosh, Prime Minister, isn't far away. If it happens, I'd like to see the cash cabby treasurer. I think that would be a great idea as
well. Oh, we're doomed then. If that happens, everyone will just get free money and then the economy will go down the drain.
Okay.
I'm running against Koshy. That's what I'm saying.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, I think my face wash might be lying to me. It makes a claim on the front that I don't think it can deliver on.
It's sounding a lot like the start of an A Current Affair story at the moment.
That's right. I'll be honest. It's kind of down that line.
Okay, so this is about false advertising. You think this beauty product is overpromising?
I don't know about false advertising.
Yeah.
Is there stretching advertising?
Okay. Mildly exaggerating your claims on your advertising.
I got some new face wash. It says it's multi-action. It claims it has 8 different actions. It will do 8 different things to your face.
Okay.
And I thought 8, That sounds like a lot.
Well, they always beauty products have a history of claiming numbers, yeah. right? They'll fight all, what is it, the seven signs of aging or whatever. Yeah. They love to just throw numbers around.
Well, I thought eight might be a stretch. So I turned around and looked at the back to see if they list the eight. Okay. And they do.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Here's the problem. I'll go through the eight and see if we can highlight it.
Yeah.
Number one, it's deep cleansing. Okay, that's fine. Okay. Number two, oil control. Okay, that's fine as well.
Do I need that?
Yeah, you don't want oily skin.
Yeah, I guess I do need oil control.
One and two are fine.
Sure.
Number three, clean blackheads. Well, isn't that covered in deep cleansing, number one?
It is. Like, it does seem like that one's been stretched a little bit.
So we're at three and we already got a double up.
Yeah.
Not posing well for the eight.
Yep.
Four, cleaned pores. Okay. Again, deep cleansing covers that in number one. Number five, balances moisture and oil. Number two was oil control.
Yeah, no, you can't. Number five is a complete ripoff of number two.
I'll give them moisture, though.
This is starting to sound a lot like my high school essays.
Number six, protects the skin from drying out. Well, that's balancing moisture. That's number five.
Yeah.
Number seven, soothes rough skin. Again, a synonym for moisturizing.
Right.
Number eight, minimizes excess oil.
Mm.
Okay, we've had oil already. That was literally number two. It's not eight. It's cleaning and moisturizing.
Mm.
And to be honest, by a lot of definitions, I'd say that's the same one.
Okay. So you would like to redesign the front of the packet. Just what, say,
they've
one.
Said cleaning eight different ways.
Yeah.
That's not multi-action.
Right.
That's just using a thesaurus.
Okay. All right. Well, no, you know what? I'm with you. I do think maybe at best they got two there. At best, they should be claiming two actions.
I feel like someone in an advertising firm got given the task, you got to come up with eight.
Get us to eight.
And they're looking at it and they're going, how can I say cleaning in another way?
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Lady Gaga got her hands on a limited edition royal wedding tea towel.
And, you know, I got to tell you, this is a big, big win for me with my grandma right now.
Also, MasterChef judge George Colombaris spoke about his latest tweet.
This one took me about 3 years to write because I'm a bad speller and my grammar is pathetic.
And Donald Trump tried to go to the toilet well drunk, but missed completely.
That one wasn't even close. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the show before, you'd know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, a.k.a. the Collective Noun forum, a.k.a. the happiest place on the internet.
And it is so easy to get into the Collective Noun forum. If you're sitting there thinking, well, that sounds out of my budget, you'd be wrong, because all it's going to cost you is a 5-star rating on the iTunes podcast or search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave that 5-star rating as your admission price into the forum. And then, Zach, you can write whatever you want and enjoy your day on the forum.
Who do we have frolicking today?
Well, firstly, through the turnstiles, let's welcome in Stampy Long Nose Official.
Stampy Long Nose.
Oh, I haven't seen Stampy Long Nose around these parts for a long time.
How dare you show your face here again, Stampy Long Nose. You know what you did.
And look, we've had so many Stampy Long Nose imitators over the years.
Yeah.
To have the official one back. Look, it's good for the forum.
Nah, we're just messing. Stampy Long Nose, you're welcome. Get
Always
over here, you little rascal.
Well, look, Stampy Long Nose just wants to say that they listened in. They're a podcast listener, but they listened to the radio show and were surprised to hear that there's music in the radio show.
Yeah.
It's not just this. The radio show is a bit more than just this.
What? The podcast is like the concentrate.
That's it. That's a good point.
It's like the cordial concentrate.
Yep.
And then the radio show is you pour a little bit in the glass.
Yep.
And then you fill the rest of the glass up with music.
That's it. Yeah. Music and a few maybe ads from sponsors.
Well, we wouldn't put ads in, but.
Well, no.
Of course not.
Naturally not. No. And look, some people, I don't know when you were a kid how heavy you took your cordial.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah. I would sometimes just drink it straight.
Would you actually? Because hurt my throat. I tried that once and it kind of like, I don't know what's in it, but. It's not great. I don't think you should have sugar in that high of a concentration.
Well, all I'll say is at like 10-year-old birthday parties, I was like the old man sitting at the bar downing whiskey. Do you know what I mean? And like taking
so
shots.
So you have a straight cordial on the rocks.
Give me a
fruit crush.
Yeah. That's it.
Hold the ice.
I would just down them. Turns out that is a lot more sugar involved if you take it that way.
it doesn't surprise me that while the others were playing games, you were hovering around
the snack table.
The snack table.
Oh, mate, I always, that was the key when you went to a party as a kid. You had to scout out the snack table. You had to make sure you knew when the food was coming out. I'd always ask the mum or the dad, what time are the snacks coming out today? You know,
what would they tell you?
Or at the party
Did you
pies.
Have a watch?
Well, I didn't want to be caught at the other side of the house in the yard when the party pies come out because they don't last long.
It was a stressful situation for you.
That's it.
So, well, they don't last long because you're stalking out the door. Waiting for them to come out and then down in six of them.
There was one party, I think I was in grade 4 or 5, where I was, a few friends and I were climbing a tree in the backyard and we missed the call for party pies and fairy bread. When we got there, it was all gone. And I vowed on that day that I would never let fun get in the way of food again in my life.
Because I imagine for you, the one thing worse than missing out on sausage rolls is knowing that all your friends had them without you.
Would you not feel that way? That's awful.
I loved going to parties because you have a lot of people to play football with.
Yeah.
That's what I used to love.
Right. So you didn't care about the spread as much?
Not as much.
Okay. Well,
I still enjoyed it, but that wasn't my highest priority.
Once the food was done for the day, don't get me wrong, I had a great time.
Yeah.
All the stress was off my mind. I've eaten. I've had a lot of cordial.
You have a lot of FOMO around food, don't you?
I think I do. I think that's a good point. I think that's exactly what I do have. But I remember one particular party where I would have had 5 or 6 glasses straight cordial. We're talking about sugar crashes. That evening, I had one of the all-time great sugar crashes. I think I just about passed out in the car.
Your mum had to come get you.
Yeah, I think
she's like helping you out of the house like you're drunk. You're like 7 years old.
But look, thank you, Stampy Long Nose. You're welcome back here anytime in the Collective Noun Forum. Next up, Zach, we do have Rita Z95 popping by the Collective Noun Forum. Just touching on something that happened in Facebook Marketplace Price is Right.
Yeah.
I think last week on the show, Zach. Now, the rule of Marketplace Price is Right is if I can get the exact price, you'll buy me the product. Or within a dollar, you buy the product.
But you have to get all three.
Yes. Well, I think this is Reader Z95's confusion because they have said, didn't Dom guess the correct price for the unicycle a few weeks ago?
Ooh.
Did Zach buy it for him, or was it safer for everyone to keep Dom away from unicycles?
Well, look, the rule is you have to get all three, and I'll buy all three.
Yeah.
However, I do like the idea of getting a unicycle. I haven't tried since I was young.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be, have you ever done it?
I've never ridden a unicycle. However, the other night on the show, I was Googling about penny farthing bikes. Mm. What if I got a penny farthing, you got a unicycle, we could tour?
I made my own penny farthing once.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Well, do you know council pick up hard rubbish?
Yep.
My friends and I, we did a day where we went around picking up bike parts.
Okay.
And I got this, it was actually, in retrospect, a really cool retro bike that I totally ruined. Right. Because I took the back wheel off and put a tiny wheel on. Okay. So it had these big hanging handlebars with a huge skinny front wheel on the front and a tiny little wheel on the back. I had to put a different pedals in so they were smaller.
Well, obviously,
or else it would scratch on the ground.
Yeah, right. And it worked. It rode okay.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah. And we used to ride to the shops and all the cars would beep at me because it looked so cool.
Are you sure that's why they were beeping?
I think so.
I mean, beeping is the universal sign of that's cool.
Well, we used to go on rides with bikes that we made from the hard rubbish.
Right.
And so it was quite an ensemble because one of them was made out of an exercise bike. So that was fixed gear. It could only go, the spokes wouldn't spin unless you're pedaling.
Yeah.
One of them was a tiny, tiny, tiny kid's bike. It looked like one of those bikes clowns ride at the circus.
Right, okay.
And then I was up the front with the big penny farthing.
You know, it's interesting. We had different memories with hard rubbish. I got banned from hard rubbish after a while because every year
What do you mean by the council?
No,
by your family.
By my parents. They said you can't keep bringing things home from hard rubbish.
If you don't have hard rubbish in your area, it's like once a year. The council says, put whatever you want on the curb.
We'll take it.
And we'll take it. But really what it is it's a free garage sale. It's a free yard sale for everyone.
Oh, and I would always see, like the old bulky TVs, right? Before they came out with the flat screens.
Yeah.
The ones with the heavy backs. Mm. I'd always see one of them sitting out the front and it never computed to me. It's probably out here because it's broken.
Also, it's out in the rain.
I normally got to it before. I was quick. I got to it before the rain.
So you actually got a TV?
Well, a few times I'd bring a TV home. I think I brought 4 home all up over the years. 3 just didn't work.
Yeah.
And 1 switched on, but we later realised had some sort of eggs in the back. We don't entirely know what was in. We didn't let the eggs give them a chance to hatch. That was straight back
How
on
big
out.
Were they?
They were like almost chicken egg size. So pretty.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know. It does worry me a bit what that could have been. But no, that went straight back on our council pickup.
But that was the beauty of it. You could bring whatever you want home.
Mm.
If you got in trouble for it or it didn't work, just put it out on the curb.
That's it. And regularly our council pickup would be made up of the things that I had gotten from other council pickups. It was a great community thing, really. Yeah. I don't feel like it, from driving around these days, I don't feel like the same stock is on offer that used to be.
When I first moved out of home, I was 18 and we had obviously no money.
Yeah.
What my friends and I, there was like five of us that lived in this house. We looked up the rich suburbs and when their hard rubbish was.
Yeah, it's a mistake though.
And we went around with utes and we furnished our house with them.
Well, I find that the rich suburb, the affluent suburbs actually don't put much out.
Yeah, they're not as generous.
Now, you'd be surprised. You need to hit the dead middle class suburbs. I came up with a strategy after a while. I had a friend with a ute and we would find the good middle class suburbs. You can get all sorts of things. We got a rocking horse once.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't have much to do with a rocking horse. I was, I think, 16 at the time.
Yeah.
But still good to have one. You never know when you're going to need a rocking horse.
We got a hammock.
Yep. Okay.
We got a gym trampoline. You know, those little ones that launch you really high. Had some great fun with that. It's pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
That's probably why they're throwing it out.
My biggest council pickup regret, in hindsight, was I did see there was a table tennis table at the front, which a friend and I went to pick up, and we were just about had it on the ute. And the guy comes running out of the house and says, that's not for council pickup.
What are you talking about? We got it from your backyard. Isn't that how this works? We get to pick whatever's outside.
Well, in fairness to him, it was under like a patio out the front. But
whose call was it? Was it your call? Did you think it was available?
I said, surely that's close enough to being out the front that you would assume that that's council pickup. But he was not very happy with us. He did say, I have half a mind to ring the police. This is theft. But I just think, I reckon if it's
that's
out the front.
That's what every thief would use that excuse during hard rubbish pickup. They just go, no, I thought it was out on the curb.
That is all we've got time for on the Collective Noun Forum today. If you do want to be a part of it, we would love to have you on board. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating as your admission price into the forum. Write whatever you want in the review, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Slogans Heroes.
We feel like we've come up with the perfect way to test how effective advertising is.
Mm.
The way this works, Dom, is we have three envelopes in front of us, each with a brand name on it. We'll have 30 seconds to see if we can recall that brand's slogan. Mm. If we can, that means that their advertising has been successful. If we are unable to recall the slogan, they need to put more ads into the world.
I'm thinking that if we can get any of these right, Zach, that the company we get right should give their marketing department a pay rise.
Yeah.
Because they're clearly doing a good job. What have we got? What's our first brand today?
Our first envelope, John Deere. 30 seconds on the clock.
Obviously. Mowers, tractors, John Deere.
I think they like ride-on mowers. Could it be something like something about sitting down on the job?
I was going to say like the fish that the rest, where the John West rejects or something, but I think that's John West. That's a different job.
How about the deer John Deere rejects makes John Deere the best?
I mean, it would be unusual if they'd gone the same slogan as that, but I don't mind. Sitting down could be something.
How about?
Sitting down could be something.
Yeah, I reckon it's to help you sit down on the job.
Sitting down on the job. Yeah. All right, let's get it. I don't think it's sitting down on the job, but it's the best we've got.
John Deere, nothing runs like a deer. That's pretty good.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good. I thought it might be something about deer, but I thought it was going to be deer as in expensive.
A deer
so
known,
not that deer.
A deer known as good runners?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. You know, they're very like majestic.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right, well, our second brand is Boost Juice.
The, like, smoothie place.
Yes. Now, I would think, doesn't one of the sharks from Shark Tank, didn't she start Boost Juice?
Yeah.
Surely you do a claim to fame thing.
Right.
It's the woman from Shark Tank's business.
You can do that. How about feels good in your body, feels good on your Instagram feed? Because I feel like that's what the main thing of Boost is.
Yeah.
You snap a photo for your Insta.
Well, the only other thing I've noticed at Boost Juice is you got to yell your order because the blenders are loud. Yeah. They're really loud.
Loud blenders.
Mango magic. Just you really got to loud. So I was thinking.
Okay, giving you the energy to give your order.
Okay, well, that's great. All right, let's rip this open. The slogan is love life. That's just. Feels quite generic.
It's very Instagram-y, though.
It is very Instagram-y. And you know what? Good advice for everyone out there. Just love life a bit more.
Nothing about juice.
Nothing to do with juice. But I guess if you like
Oscars. Oh, I should be squeezing more out of life.
There we go. Okay, well, you know what we're learning from this segment? Is that if this show doesn't get picked up again next year, Zach, you and I get into marketing departments around the country.
Our last one.
Yeah.
Lego. Now, the note here is this is their slogan from 1936 when it was made. So it could be a little out of date. Hopefully it's okay for this day and age.
All right, what are you thinking, Lego? Not fun to step on was my first thought.
Everyone, you know, parents talk about not liking to step on it. So maybe wear shoes around.
Enclosed shoes around Lego.
I feel like there's a type of thing that's for kids, but it's actually adults enjoy it more. So maybe you could do like, it's for your kids, winky face. It could be the first slogan with a winky face in it.
What about, I'm thinking something to do with building the blocks of tomorrow.
Oh, I love it.
You know what I mean?
I love it. Building the next generation.
Building the next generation. There we go. What have we got? What have we got? The 1930s.
The building's Lego definitely going to be in there.
Should be. What do we got?
Lego, only the best is good enough. That's John West. That's where they got it from.
That is all we got time for on the show tonight. If you want to hear the full thing back, you can search for Collective Noun on iTunes. By the way, have you had John West tuna before?
Not a big tuna fan. Also, no? I'm a vegetarian.
That's a good point. I was just wondering, I've never tested that slogan out. But anyway, just a thought that occurred to me. That is the
show. There just piles of tuna outside the John West factory?
Yeah. What, the ones they rejected?
Yeah.
Yeah, these ones didn't make the cut. Yeah, I guess so.
Also, it's great for the tuna. I mean, it's a backhanded compliment because you're not the best tuna, but you get to still be alive. So it's a pretty good consolation prize.
Search for Collective Noun on iTunes. You can get the podcast there. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.
Bye!
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.